Good morning. Welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. This is your host, Petty B, other known as Bianca Goolsby, and welcome to season 2, episode 3. And today's episode is called Unit Number 100868. Okay, so first of all, I just want to tell you guys that my weekend has just been phenomenal, and I needed that reset. I needed that recharge, and I'm excited. So happy Friday. Today's payday for some of you, cha-ching. Okay, so I hope that you are having a wonderful Friday, and I hope that you guys have a wonderful weekend. We have an action-packed show today. There's a lot of stuff that we need to talk about, all the way from local school board politics to what's happening nationally in the United States of America. So I just want to go ahead and just do a quick rundown. So this broadcast is also on Twitch. It's another streaming service if you want to be a part of that. So I just want to give a quick rundown of all the platforms that this episode, Morning Teen Allegations, is being hosted on. So it's being hosted on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Won't he do it? So I just want to say thank you guys for all your support and your love. It means a lot to me. And so, yeah, we're here. So I want to go ahead and cue up the sound effects because I forgot that I need to do that. So, yeah, here we go. It's up. For my Patreons, thank y'all. I love you guys so much for being a Patreon. If you haven't become a Patreon yet, I highly suggest you do. You could become a Patreon for less than a dollar a month. Okay, you can literally become a Patreon for a dollar a month. And you can increase that depending on, you know, how you want to allocate money. But I just really thank the people who are donating during this time and this time of uncertainty, and people that are really contributing to the advocacy work with Teaching for the Culture. It really means a lot to me. So yeah, for people that are on Patreon, you know, thank y'all so much. And for the people who are not on Patreon, it's truly easy to support. Thank you for making my dreams come true. And you can visit www.patreon.com/Bianca Goolsby. Now let's go ahead and get started, as y'all already know, with the church announcements and with our sponsors. Roll it. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Teen Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsby.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. So I just want to just sit with this moment with ExpressVPN. I'm just going to let y'all know that there's a reason why not only do I use this product, but it's also a video sponsor. There has been a series of cyber attacks that has been happening since COVID. And I need people to understand that the internet is a very dangerous place if you're not sure what you're doing. So, you know, with that being said, please consider getting a VPN. If you don't know what a VPN is, I will post the link in the comments so that you can read up on, but it's essentially a private network, okay? It stands for virtual private network, and it basically shields your IP address so that way people can't try to attack you. People can't try to reverse engineer websites to compromise your information. And during this time, I'm here to tell you that cyber alerts are going off. Okay. This is my wheelhouse. This is what I do. And I'm just here to just let you guys know that the internet is very powerful, but it's also very dangerous. And you need to be very intentional with what you do, how you log in, and what websites you click on. Because there are certain websites that you click on. If you click on their link, they will be able to extract a whole bunch of information about you without your knowledge or consent. So with that being said, I'm telling you, it's worth it. And that's just that. Now, if you haven't seen already, Teaching for the Culture is back with school board debates. And if you enjoyed our candidate forums, then get ready for the debate. You can visit www.teachingfortheculture.com/events to see the dates and times. It's on selected Fridays starting in October. So I really hope to see you there. And I'm excited. And thank you to the candidates that are watching on the live. I see you. Hey, how you doing? And also for the ones that have already RSVP'd. It really means a lot. Thank you for supporting Teaching for the Culture in this work that we're doing to ensure that there is a spotlight to focus on public education and giving our children and our students a voice. Amen. So many topics, so little time. So let's talk about first things first, and that is the simultaneous teaching nightmare. So Pinellas County Public Schools has been in the news quite some time now for their simultaneous teaching. Now, I'm not sure why that energy is not applied to several other school districts that are implementing this plan, and you have educators that are being voluntold to do this simultaneous teaching. Parents, I really want you to understand that the simultaneous teaching, yes, in theory, it could work, but it doesn't really give your child that one-on-one. It does not give your child the option to really learn. It's basically they're watching what's happening. So I just really hope that you understand that the simultaneous teaching is just really done to make sure that we have kids in seats and to get money federally and from the state. It has nothing to do with your progress of your child and your learning goals and what is happening for your kid. I'm just here to just be the bearer of bad news and tell you the truth. We need to start having accountability, transparency, and integrity around here because people like to lie. People like to play games. And I just don't have the time or the energy to play any of that. I'm a person that I'm very direct, is cut and dry. Simultaneous teaching can work in theory. However, there are so many issues because we've already had a national shortage of educators. So, and one of the educators that I spoke with in Pinellas County, you know, in one class, they have 70 children. So I just want to back up because from my understanding with the law, okay, there's a certain class size that educators should have by law. And I just want to know how 70 children in one period is not a violation of the law. I'm trying to figure that out. And so it's one of those things where this is not working. You have educators that are burnt out and they're either taking a leave of absence, they're resigning, and they're ultimately leaving. And guess what? The kids have to be taught by someone, right? So either they're being taught by a sub or guess what? They're shuffled around to make bigger class sizes to accommodate. And we're literally sitting around here saying that this is fine. This is okay. And it's not. It's really damaging to the educators, and we really need to be intentional. So according to the data, because you know, people lie, receipts don't, in Pinellas County, here's a breakdown of what's happening. So you have 12% of teachers that are fully virtual. Okay. So that means 12% of all of their educators in Pinellas County are fully virtual. You have 36% of the educators that are only teaching in person, which the whole in-person teaching has just been completely, it's been a nightmare, really. And we have already seen this. We already, you know, have known that this was an issue, but, you know, I digress. And then you have 52% of educators in Pinellas County that are teaching both ways simultaneously, so virtually and in person. Now, for all of the new children advocates that came out of this politicized issue with reopening schools, now is the time to roll up your sleeves and advocate for children to ensure that they are getting equity in education, because this is what you were so concerned about. You were concerned about the school to prison pipeline. We were concerned about making sure that our children get adequate resources. Well, I just want to know if you have a teacher that is in the classroom that is trying to manage the kids that are in their classroom with COVID. And then you got the kids that are watching on Zoom, and there's no classroom management that's happening on Zoom because there has to be classroom management in the actual classroom. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in these Zooms. Do y'all know that? there has been petitions that's created, and I just want to go ahead and share it with you so that y'all can see. And I will definitely post the links in the description so that way you can sign the petition and actually see what's going on as well. So let me go ahead and share my screen so you can see this here. So this is the first petition, and it's basically parents that have spoke out to say that teachers should only be teaching online or in the classroom, not simultaneously. And I agree. I believe that all educators are not equipped with teaching online. That is a completely different arena. And if they wanted to do that, they could have worked for a virtual school, but they did not. Teaching is a skill. Teaching is something that is an art. And I just hate when people just automatically assume that we can just change these environments and boom, we can get to teaching. We can get to learning. We have forgotten Maslow hierarchy of needs. Well, the bottom portion of that is safety. We can't even guarantee that when we are telling children to bring water bottles because we cut the water fountains off. So therefore, the children cannot even get water. But you know what? The water is not even clean anyway because it has lead in it. Anywho, so this is the petition, and it has over 2,800 signatures. So you can definitely go in here and sign a petition, share, let people know what's going on. And then there was another petition, okay? And the next petition that was signed was with the PCTA. So let me go ahead and post that up on my screen, okay? And I thank you guys for tuning in, man. This is amazing. Let's see here. Stop and share. All right. So this is the petition from the PCTA, and the union has where they can literally fill out a petition. The union says that there was thousands of educators that, you know, completed this petition, and it's just so much going on. So I just want people to understand that there was this narrative around here that educators had a choice. And I'm here to tell you that some educators were not given a choice. And in fact, there's an educator in Hillsborough County that I just love with everything in me, Ryan Hazinski. And he teaches a specialized course, but he wasn't given a choice. His wife, you know, has high needs. And it's one of those things where he wants to be comfortable. He wants to feel safe, and he can help his students from the comfort of his own home. And he has been doing that while taking a sick time off. He has still been working with the children. I just want to know at what point will this be the year of the teacher? I'm still waiting, because we've talked about 2020 is the year of teachers, and teachers are just being slapped around, bullied, gaslit, and everything else. It's tired. So there's a comment. It says, what about the students that were at the football game last night without masks? Well, you know what? I'm glad that you asked. Okay, so go Warhawks. All right. So last night, Seminole High School, they celebrated a win last night, and there was no social distancing in sight. I actually want to go ahead and roll the clip, because, you know, people overseas don't roll it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the ball game. Final score, 7-6. Your winners,
So, with that being said, I have some concerns. I do have concerns about the spread of COVID-19 with our athletes. Majority and a high number of our athletes are minorities, and minorities have a higher risk of COVID-19 than any other race. So with that being said, I need people to really start asking questions. You know, I understand that there is a need to go back to normalcy, but at this time is not. We need to create plans on how to remove some of these cases that we have, create strategies around how we could save our people and what that looks like moving forward. Because doing the same old thing during this time is only going to cause further destruction. And that's exactly what's happening. And those students that was out there, they in class today. Happy Friday. The students that was playing out there, touching all them folks, they in the classroom. All of that is right back into the classroom at Seminole High School today. And whatever place that they're going to, other people's work. You know, look, there's people out here that continue to think that COVID-19 is not a real thing. Please stop. You're not helping the situation. In fact, you're continuing to perpetuate narratives that are killing folks. We literally have a president of the United States that downplayed COVID-19, called it a hoax. You had people that were literally using bleach and disinfectants to help cure them of COVID-19. And we have school systems and districts that are just allowing this to just breed in here. We have educators that are dying, and we're all sitting around here like everything is all right and everything's okay. And it's not. It's not. And the longer that we continue to act like this is okay, the longer that it's going to be for us to bounce back and to recover, which has a lot to do with economics. And I'm going to get to that later on today. Now, back to this simultaneous teaching, because, you know, go Warhawks, right? And they're in the classrooms today. Got some questions about that, but y'all go get these receipts and y'all start asking questions. Now, in Hillsborough County with simultaneous teaching, Addison Davis, the superintendent, is not being transparent to the community about what's happening in the district. It's really sad what's going on. So the T is that you have this software that they purchased, which we don't know how they were able to purchase this software, but nonetheless, Ingenuity. They use Ingenuity for credit recovery, but now what we're finding out is that they're actually using Ingenuity to teach children, right? So the teachers are there to answer any questions, but they are to follow the courses on Ingenuity. Now, they're using Ingenuity for seat time. Seat time, FTE money. You hear me? Cha-ching. So parents, y'all need to start asking questions, because just like how you were advocating to make sure that your child gets a quality and, you know, healthcare and quality schooling and quality everything. Well, with this schooling situation, your children are being forced to sit on Edgenuity and to go through the Moodles and modules on Edgenuity. And that's how they get their grade in some of their classes, which is not an educator teaching them, more so an educator facilitating their process. So if that's how you want teaching to go, then okay. But from my understanding and from the newfound advocacy that we're now seeing about being intentional with our children's education, which is beyond me, but I'm glad that we're talking about it, folks. I just want you to know, parents, that your kids are being forced on these online modules with no teaching going on. You know, actually, let's break that down. You know, that actually was happening a year prior to that in Hillsborough County. When they would force the kids to be on iReady all day, they had subs because they didn't have enough teachers to cover the classes. So they use online programs such as iReady, Bluefish, all of these different programs that would force the children to sit there on the computer all day to go through self-paced modules, and they would be expected to learn. They would be expected to achieve in high-stakes testing, which reminds me. So we're still doing the FSA after all of this. You have kids that had to quarantine for 14 days. They will not be in school for 2 weeks. And that's going to keep happening. So I just want to know, will these children be expected to perform will these children be expected to pass the FSA for, you know, the third graders? I want to know, are we still holding them to the expectation to pass the FSA with all of this trauma that's happening in the world? Because all of it is trauma at the end of the day. So I just want to know, and I just push my energy to Ron DeSantis, Richard Corcoran, the leaders in the state of Florida. And I'm like, bro, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Because this is just dismantling education. So Veronica says opt out. And yes, there is a group that is working on providing information to the public on how you can opt out the FSA. I'll be working with this group so that way I can create some content to place on Teaching for the Culture to help you with that process, because your children are more than unit numbers and so are teachers. So that's the whole purpose and intention of today's title, because our students and our teachers, they're more than units. Okay. Let's move on. So there's a lot of cyber attacks that are happening. And the first one is Zoom bombing. Now, for the life of me, I don't understand why we are still allowing anyone in the Zoom. Okay. Especially in the education arena, because you have attendance and you know who's in the class. Now, for these public events that everyone gets on and they're being Zoom bombed, I have a little bit more grace with that, because you obviously want a whole bunch of people to watch. So you're not really screening people of who's coming in, but you can make sure that you have the settings to where they're muted and also that they can't share their screen. Okay. Zoom needs to do a better job with educating folks on this particular issue, just due to the fact that it is a reoccurring thing. And I'm gonna tell you, YouTube is complicit of all of this. And the reason why is because there's people that are, you know, recording them Zoom bombing. And guess what? YouTube is running ads on that, and it is generating people money for doing that. So it incentivizes the behavior, folks. So YouTube is just as complicit for these cyber attacks. So for the life of me, teachers, if you could please make sure that you are checking the folks in the waiting room to make sure that you verify them, make sure that they have their first and last name when they come into the Zoom, they can change those settings and make sure that their name is correct when they come in, because all of this is inflicting trauma on children when a class is Zoom bomb and you have pornography and racist chants and all of that within the Zoom. That creates trauma for children, that we have to stop it. And parents, I'm on you on this one, because a lot of the kids learn this stuff on TikTok. They learn this stuff on Instagram. They learn this stuff on these apps that they're in. And you need to check the cell phone. You need to know what's on your child's phone, and you need to know who your children are talking to. See, I grew up in a time where my dad wanted to know who I was associating with, because in philosophy, you are who you hang around. And I don't understand why this is not being applied to cell phones and how this is not being applied to social media. But your children become who they follow. And I just want you to be mindful of the behaviors that are being normalized on these apps that you may or may not have no knowledge of. So speaking of cyber attacks, there was a 16-year-old at South Miami High School that confessed with eight cyber attacks that he did at his school district, Miami, the largest, okay, in Florida. So cyber attacks happened, and guess what got him caught up? A VPN. I'm sorry. Guess what got him caught up? His IP address. Now, what he should have did was he should have had a VPN. But to be clear, I'm not encouraging or supporting this behavior. But I just want to just make this known here that he got caught up by his IP address, which lets me know that this kid was taught this, but wasn't taught everything. So he learned this from somewhere. Well, they traced it back, folks, and they traced it back to iChan. Have y'all seen iChan? Well, if you haven't, you probably should see one of my episodes of The Underground. It's a series that I talk about, and there's more episodes that will be posted. And if you're a Patreon, you'll have access to the video first. But 4chan is a problematic website, folks, and it's completely anonymous. So therefore, you can't hold people accountable on an anonymous website. It's so much toxic, problematic things that's happening or 4chan that no one could be held accountable for, and it's dangerous. So the application that he used was LOIC, okay? And it was developed by 4chan's affiliate hackers. So let's go ahead and take a trip on the internet so that y'all can see what I'm talking about, because I really want y'all to understand that there are some really dark places on the internet and just how people have access to stuff. Yep. All right. So this is 4chan. This is a very problematic website. Very problematic because it's anonymous. And that's just that. People are saying a whole bunch of different type of stuff in here. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong what's happening. Well, in 4chan, they have different bulletin boards and you could post different stuff. It's anonymous. And there's a lot of conversations that take place in 4chan that is just unbelievable. There have been several people who have committed shootings and their manifestos have ended up on 4chan. This is the site, folks. Like it's real. And the hackers that are affiliated with 4chan created this tool. And I'm going to show you the receipt of the article that talks about this that they created in 2010. So this kid learned it from somewhere, and it had to be 4chan. It had to be private groups. It had to be some on YouTube because, you know, I just don't understand it. So this is a famous tech magazine, if you don't know, but it talks about LOIC, and it basically is an algorithm that forces DDoS attacks. Now, you're probably asking, okay, I'm getting a little technical. Well, what is DDoS? Well, DDoS stands for denial of service. It is a malicious attack and is used to disrupt normal traffic servers, and is usually to overwhelm and by flooding the internet traffic. And that's exactly what the 6-year-old did, which caused so many issues with the school district, with their e-learning and their portal. After the incident, Miami-Dade did get rid of the K-12 program. And the teachers have been scrambling because their lessons that they created for their children were on that program. So I just want to go ahead and show you the link to this too, because at the end of the day, kids are learning this somewhere. They're learning how to hack, and the kids that are hacking are being celebrated, folks. So I really hope that we are very intentional and that attention. So I just want to go ahead and share this article with you, and I will post the link in the comments so you can read it yourself. But, you know, the teachers, they're scrambling. They put so many lessons into this K-12 program to now be told that we're getting rid of the program and we're doing something else. It's a nightmare. And so this is just where we're at. And so, you know, the 16-year-old kid, you know, I feel bad for him. Just the fact that, you know, I don't think that he knew what he was doing or the ramifications of his actions. I think that he thought it was cool. And that's because people have been celebrated. But the root issue with all of this is that there's teenagers that's most likely to be committing these crimes. I hope that y'all pay attention. Let's not forget about the 17-year-old Hillsborough County student that hacked Twitter and was celebrated all over TikTok. Now, this 17-year-old kid had $3 million worth in Bitcoin. He had $3 million worth in Bitcoin. So I just want to share the article with y'all so that y'all remember his mugshot and has been circulating all over TikTok. They have been celebrating him. They are calling him a legend because he hacked Twitter. And how this 17-year-old has $3 million in Bitcoin is beyond me. So, like I said, Y'all need to check the cell phones. Y'all need to figure out what your kids are doing, because I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And so, you know, this is the behavior. This is the stuff that's being celebrated around here. And the kids are like, yes, that's awesome. Like, let's hack some stuff. You know what I mean? And me being a business technology educator, I would have a lot of kids that would be like, I want to learn how to hack. And I would ask, well, where did you learn that from? And they could never tell me. They just said, I want to learn how to hack. But they could never identify where they learned that you could hack stuff and where does that come from. So I don't know if it's YouTube. I don't know what it is that is having children want to hack, but they've been trying to do that on Minecraft. They have hacks on Kahoot. Do y'all know that there is a whole Google Chrome extension for Kahoot to disrupt the entire game? Y'all go look it up. It's something else. So with the Zoom bombing and the cyber activities, parents, I'm looking at you. You need to check your child's cell phone. You need to pay attention to what has their attention, what is fueling them. And I just want to be very clear. Now, you know, we have school open. Districts are not being transparent with the amount of cases that they have, right? And we just have some really serious stuff going on with that. And it's dangerous. It's very dangerous to have a COVID tracker and you're not providing accurate data. It's very dangerous. And we probably should stop doing that. If we're going to have a COVID tracker, I think we should probably be, you know, transparent about the real cases that's happening, because there are several, you know, school sites that had to be clean for COVID, but they're not on any type of tracker. Do you know that they're moving custodial workers to different schools because, you know, the custodial workers that they have on quarantine? But that's okay. We're going to get to that part at the end, because, you know, I'm just pulling receipts and people out here lying. And I just want to know, where are the bus drivers, the custodians and the educators? Because I'm looking at this data and they're leaving. They're leaving. Now, the other day I posted something about the nurses, and I'm glad that you on here, Stacy. How you doing, Sora? And you brought it up. So there's a school in Pinellas County that hasn't had a nurse in 4 days. So now on the website, Pinellas County, you tell the folks that you have nurses and that, you know, your children will be in fine, proper care. In Hillsboro, they don't have enough nurses either. You know, in the hospitals in the Tampa Bay area, you know, they don't have enough nurses either. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to start telling the truth now, immediately, because at the end of the day, economics and what's happening. I just want to know, will school districts continue to be defunded? Because chronically and systemically, they have been. And when we have serious issues with our economy, to where our economy is more fragile, and then you have political issues between the United States and China, and we owe China so much money, and we've allocated so many resources to China, that is all of this stuff right here is all gonna fold. Capitalism has its limit. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that we reached that limit. We've had to. Meanwhile, you know, Jeff, the founder of Amazon, is living his best life with his trillions of dollars. He didn't pay any, you know, taxes, you know, his last reporting period. Will he pay taxes on the trillions of dollars that he has now? And at what point does having $1 trillion be like, okay, maybe I need to start, you know, recycling this money into this system to ensure that everyone eats? Because you just have $1 trillion sitting here because it's yours. And I get it. You earned your money. But this whole system of capitalism, it has its limits, folks. This is not sustainable. And now we have a virus, unknown. We have no idea how to cure it. And if we do find a cure, there's going to be people that don't take it. So this is going to be here. And you have people that are making trillions of dollars and do not even think to be like, okay, well, how can I allocate most of my money that I don't need, that's just sitting here, to help other folks? Why do we have one of the richest countries in the world? Why is the United States one of the richest countries in the world? And we still have children that cannot eat. We are drinking water contaminated with lead. By choice, we could fix it, but we continue to cut corners and we continue to play games. So Bloomberg got an article out here, okay? And it talks about how it's being more fragile. Now, I don't want to get too in-depth with the money situation because I'm still trying to follow the money in Hillsborough County Public Schools because we got some stuff going on there. But I will post the link so that you guys can pay attention about how this pandemic has really placed the spotlight on some serious things that's happening in our country. And we really need to change a lot of stuff that we've been doing. But what I found interesting in my search for today's, you know, topic and today's episode is literally Fox News comes in 19 hours later and says that the economics is ready for rapid recovery. And I'm like, what? I'm gonna just post this here. So 18 hours ago, very optimistic about this country, okay, and the economy. And it talks about how they are optimistic about how this economy is going to bounce back. And this is the problem that I have. And this is an unpopular opinion. And I'm going to just leave it like this. So when we have choices and we have freedoms, people can choose what type of narrative they could spin on the situation, where you have one news entity that is looking at the data to say that this is really impacting us. Look at how many people are on unemployment. And mind you, folks, there's people who are on unemployment in the state of Florida since March and still hasn't received a check. I'm going to just sit that there. So you have this, right? And at the end of the day, you have people that are spinning all these narratives. And I don't understand it. I'm not with it. But I mean, the economics is even hitting home. It's even hitting home. So yesterday, an article came out about Busch Gardens, SeaWorld employees, and how they were laid off. And they learned about the cuts through the news and social media and not from the parks itself. And how inhumane is that? So let's share this. So this was posted yesterday by the Tampa Bay Times, and you literally have workers that worked at Busch Gardens and SeaWorld, and they had these jobs. And they're finding out that they don't have a job on social media and in the news. They didn't even have a decency to pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, we've tried to hold on as much as we can. We're not getting people coming to the park due to COVID-19 and really have conversations, like nothing. So it's just really sad because you have people that are, you know, out here splurging and they are getting PPP loans. And they are lying on how many employees they have, and they're splurging the money as if people not going to start asking questions about recent purchases. Like, you go and get a PPP loan and then you go buy a Lamborghini. Like, are you stupid? Like, these people are following you. Like, that is not intelligent. That is not smart. That is not wise. So y'all out here committing fraud, and then y'all want to know why we don't have no money. So I don't know. It's beyond me. And I just pray for the workers, and I pray for the people who don't have a job that's trying to figure it out, and they've applied for unemployment. They've done everything that they have been told to do, and they're still not coming up with anything. That hotline to call to check in on your status of the unemployment, those lines ring off the hook. You had a call center that was removed from the contract. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and y'all need to hold our governor accountable, because Ron DeSantis is the leader here and he's following Trump, and we see where that's gotten us. So I just want to know how we're going to be funding education when systemically we have defunded education, and where this money is going to come from. So just something to think about. But parents, I'm back on you. You need to check the cell phone, and please stop being hard on your children. There are so many parents that are fed up and frustrated because they don't know how to help their child do their schoolwork. And you coming at teachers sideways to say that they're not teaching nothing, this, that, and the third. Hold on, pause. Because now that we're in this COVID world, there's more people paying attention. But I want to know, do you know if your child is on reading level? What is your child's Lexile score? Are you reading on level? Because look, we have to teach our children. And if our children are just learning from a public school institution, they're not really learning. Learning comes from home, their environment, what they are being fed, whether that is, you know, on TV, on YouTube, what they read, that all feeds your child. When you allow your child to be 6 years old and the first thing that they do is want to make a TikTok video instead of, you know, cleaning up, making sure that they clean up their area, making sure that they get focused on their books. How are you setting up your child for success? I want to know, because we need to have some tough conversations. We do. And we need to stop shielding and saying that it's the public school system. I don't want to hear that, because at this point, we have now seen that this public education system is all about the money, been all about the money, and it's right there in your face. And you're still giving teachers a hard time when they're trying to do everything that they can. But I want to know, what are you doing at home to help the teachers and bridge the gap? Because we got so many gaps around here. We have gaps with our reading rate. We have gaps with the digital divide. We have all of these gaps, and we could talk about it. And the new activists that decided to come out to talk about these things for their own political agenda or for their reopening schools claim. I want to know what you're doing now. How are you helping our children get on reading level? Because there are kids that are in middle school that are reading in elementary grade level. Really? So we then prepare them for the graduation rate that is fluffed and a whole bunch of stuff with that, the corruption with that. They get to college. Well, when they have to take their college exams, well, guess what? They have to take all of these prerequisite classes before they can even take the required classes. So not only are they in college longer, but it requires more money. And if they are struggling with the reading and the math, the basic skills that should be taught before they go to college, they're going to drop out. They're going to feel defeated, and they're going to say, I'm not. Ishalina said, a first grader told me he wants to be a YouTuber. And you know, parents, your children become what they hear, see, and experience. And when you allow your child to be parented on YouTube, there's a lot of behaviors on YouTube that are normalized that should not be. First of all, let's back up. Now, yesterday I was like, all right, let me go ahead and check out the newest music videos and see what the kids are watching, because I like to stay up to date and to see what's going on. I went to YouTube and I'm watching all of these videos that are trending, meaning that there's a whole bunch of people watching it. And they out here with drugs, literally drugs all in the video, guns all in the video. You have women that are just out here, they just showing their bodies. Some of their bodies, you know, are painted, literally painted. And they're out here dancing to the music. Then when you actually dissect the music that they're saying, the lyrics and the words that they're choosing to speak out of their mouth, it's toxic. It's about shooting folks and killing folks and a whole bunch of other stuff that is toxic. At what point will we stop celebrating ignorance? At what point will we stop celebrating music that talks about murdering each other? And I just want to know when is enough enough? Because this is what I feel. I feel as though that we really need to stop allowing these companies to profit off of our children. And we need to stop labeling stuff for the culture. Because I don't know about you, but singing about, you know, using my body for money, like that's not doing it for, that's not my culture. It's not. And we need to normalize having conversations to be like, look, y'all are free to sing and dance and all of that, right? But when you have 6-year-old children that are making TikToks to WAP, there's a problem with that. When you have 8-year-old girls that are putting on makeup on their face and are on TikTok and they shaking their behind and they're being sexualized at 8 years old, I have a problem with that. So I want to know, at what point will we decide as a culture that we're not going to tolerate ignorance anymore? We're not going to celebrate ignorance. So, you know, morning teen allegations, you know, how I had to get your attention was ignorant. I got up here with a wig, acting a fool on the internet to get your attention about what's happening in our education system. Now we have some conversations about the education system. Now we're talking about school board members and what the duties and responsibilities of school board. Nobody was checking for school board races. Politically, school board races was used as a stepping stone to leverage political aspirations. Now we're actually vetting school board candidates to see who's best for children. Imagine that. So at what point will we stop celebrating ignorance and really hone in to focus on our children? We talk about our children all the time, but how are the children? How do our children feel? What voice are we amplifying? Because I'm hearing a whole bunch of upset parents that say that they don't want to teach their child at home. I hear a lot of voices that are illuminated from, you know, parents that say, well, if I have to teach my child, I should get a check. And you have kids that are running away from home. We literally have a serious thing going on. And I need people to understand that enough is enough. And it's beyond being unit number 100868. So a couple action items for you for today's episode. Number one, I really want y'all to start asking questions on how can we shift our public education system? Because the way that it is done now is a systemic failure. And we cannot continue to pretend that we operate in this, that is going to be back normal. It is not at all. So in order to save public education, we have to come up with creative solutions to educate our children, which means that we need to focus on educating our students. But in order to do that, we need to focus on a hierarchy of needs. You can't expect a child to be self-actualized and want to be dedicated to learn when they have so many factors and situations around them. Now, some kids are on campuses. Did y'all think that the fighting was going to stop? Did y'all think that the issues with the kids, vaping in school was going to stop? Did you think the issues with our children popping pills, the pill popping culture, has impacted our children? And this has been normalized with music, and it's awful. Parents, you should know what's in your house. You should know who your children are talking to, and you should know what's on your phone. For the life of me, I don't understand why we constantly say that we're giving our children freedom and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not doing our part. And our part is teaching your children at home. That's what you should be doing. Being attentive to your child's needs at home. Start asking questions. And when you ask questions, don't ask questions to be combative or to start an argument with your child, but have a conversation because you genuinely want to have a conversation with them to learn about them and see them as human and not someone that you just boss around and dictate. Because kids are running away from home and we're talking about, you know, how we need to be in school so they can be in safe places. Well, I just want to know, is your home a safe place for your child? And if it's not, then we need to have some conversations about that. Because at the end of the day, this COVID is not going away. Schools will be shut down soon. And economically, public school systems are not going to work. And you know what's going to end up happening? Just imagine. First of all, in East Tampa. Now, there's people that get so upset when I advocate for East Tampa because I don't live in East Tampa, but East Tampa is an equivalence to South St. Pete. So, with that being said, I advocate for my babies. Now, you have a charter school network, IDEA Public School, which is not a public school, okay? They are coming to East Tampa in 2021. And they are called Schools of Hope, which why we weren't giving our children hope in the schools before now, I don't understand it, but let's just sit that there. They're coming. Now, after this FSA, and there's certain schools that don't meet their statutory requirements, well, I want to know what's going to happen to those schools. Because Foster and Oak Park was almost removed from the district and, you know, they filed for another year turnaround. So if that turnaround doesn't happen because systemically COVID is systemically impacting our communities different and our kids are in and out of school, they don't have access to the internet, there's inequities and they're still hold to the same standard. And wait, so let me get this straight. So then on top of that, you actually want people to actually come up to the school to take a standardized test. All of this is flawed and is messed up and people need to start asking questions. But again, there's resources out here that I will be providing with the help of these groups. To make sure that you learn your options as a parent to opt out so that your child is not forced to be subjected to this testing rat race, this foolishness, and just being viewed as a child in unit number 100868. Now, the last thing that I want to leave you with before I leave today is I received some updated receipts for Hillsborough County with the instructional positions. I just want to let y'all know that these people are leaving left and right. And I got the receipt. So this is this is the document. I'll post the link so that y'all can see it and y'all can read it yourself. But there has been some people that are leaving the district, and it's not just in Hillsborough County, but it's in Pinellas County and Manatee County. Now, the issue that I have with Manatee County is that they're not being transparent, and they have been so corrupt. And to even touch the surface on that just requires a whole nother level of work. But I just want to let y'all know that I am watching, I'm seeing, and I'm thankful for the advocates on the ground in Manatee that give me receipts for me to start looking into stuff. And I'm telling you, I'm witnessing it, and I peep it. The question on the floor is, do you have info on the adjusted scores on standardized testing to meet the projections? So no, I don't. There has been no real concrete information on standardized testing from what I've researched thus far. And the questions that I've asked in regards of how will this work, and you know, what expectations that we are leaving for our children to do in this pandemic, in this new world that we're in. I did not receive clarity on what this is going to look like. In fact, it just seems as though people are just like, I don't know, like we don't know. And I get it. This is a new reality for us. But if we didn't think that standardized testing was essential, you know, last school year, then I don't think that, you know, that it should be essential now. That's just my personal opinion. Aaron says, I have an advocate friends that work in scoring that have been forced to adjust scores, NDA, but they told me. I will definitely reach out to you, Aaron, and get some more information so I can start digging. With the standardized testing, it's crazy. And if you have some receipts, I absolutely love it. And thank you for that. Because you know what I like I like to say, people lie, receipts don't. I want to play this clip again because I'm really disheartened by Superintendent Addison Davis. I'm really disappointed, truly. I'm really disappointed in his leadership, and I'm disappointed in the way that he continues to perpetuate narratives that are not true. And at the end of the day, my energy is applied to everyone equally. There's no bias or hidden agenda for me, as though many people create narratives about that. I just really wish that people stop lying on my employment record, for the love of God. It's just too much. It really is. I was never terminated from the district. Y'all stop lying on me. But moving forward, I want to go ahead and just play this clip of the updated data for Hillsborough County, because there's a lot of bus drivers, custodial workers, and educators that are leaving this district, and we are continuing to say that they're okay. The reason why I bring this up is because I received a receipt where at Lavoie, the custodial workers at the exceptional center, the kids that have higher needs, those custodial workers were moved to Roland Park, to clean Roland Park. But yet there's high needs children at the exceptional center at Lavoie, but their custodians were moved. And that was because at Roland, the custodial workers were on quarantine. Now, my question to Addison Davis is, I want to know, where is the slew of contractors that you allege that you have ready to go due to the number of people leaving the district? And this is why I say that I'm very disappointed in his leadership, because we need a leader that's just transparent. Like, this is not all going to be perfect, but just tell the truth about it. Stop lying and making it seem like you have all of these people just ready to come to Hillsborough County, that's ready to do all of this stuff. Look, just be real. Just be transparent. Just be honest. But to just lie, just flat up lie. The superintendent, Pinellas County, Grego, you right there with him. Y'all both with y'all political aspirations. Y'all sit at these round tables. Y'all talk to Ron DeSantis, Richard Cochran, and all that. And at the end of the day, there's teachers that are losing their lives. There's students that are getting sick and they're dying. I'm really disappointed in who we call leaders in this pandemic. This pandemic has really shown who the real leaders are. This pandemic has really exposed who's real and who's not. This pandemic has really put a spotlight on these systems that has been tearing us apart. And now we have a race war. And you know what? A lot of the race wars is happening with children. Why? Because they are free to say what they want on these apps with no accountability. And you have a president who is literally encouraging and promoting this behavior. So at the end of the day, people lie, receipts don't. And I just want to play this clip so that y'all can see these numbers. And I want y'all to realize that for the parents that's advocating for your child, ask your children how many kids they have in the classroom and do they have an actual teacher?
Superintendent, can you tell us how many, or tell me, how many instructional positions are currently available?
Through the chair, I have to get that update to you. I know the last time I had conversations with human resources, it was over 300, but that's everything instructional, from instructional all the way through district instructional staff members, specialists, district resource teachers, and all those. And we do know that due to the declaration of intent related to the number of students that transition to that have not or showed up on the first day, that we could be over allocated. So being able to look at the first 15, 20 day count to be able to shuffle, we do believe that we will have a sufficient number of instructional staff members to be able to place in front of children every day.
Okay. Can you let me know how many new hires? Do you know how many new hires it was?
Through the chair, we usually hire around 1,200 educators a year in Hillsborough County. And of that, and I don't want to speak, I'll wait to Ms. Dr. Whalen, or I'll have to email it to you, but I think it's around 300 brand new educators to Hillsborough County. But I'll make certain that that information is emailed to you.
All right. The last time they gave me the numbers, it was only 87 new hires with 28 rehires. And we had opening of 260.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that data is coming from, but I'll send you the updated data from Human Resources.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Do you know how many have retired due to this issue that we're having in the district and around this nation? Well, here in this district?
Related to COVID?
Yes.
And I believe openly it was less. I won't give you a number. I want to be able to email it. That way I'm not on the record giving you a number that's inaccurate, but I think it's very, very few number of educators that have identified and left due to the pandemic. Actually, Dr. Whalen's right here and she's trying to come. I asked her because she may have that in front of her. If not, I can email it to you. Okay. Number of educators that have left due and identified during their exit interview for the pandemic?
We do not have that information that it's with that related to the leave information that I had provided to you. There were only four staff members at that time that were related to a COVID leave. There could be other reasons for personal leave, but they are not disclosing that to us. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So
I want to know where's our bus drivers, our custodians, our educators. And I just want to know, because, you know, somebody is lying. Either Addison Davis was not provided the adequate number, meaning that Marie Whalen and Human Resources was not telling Addison Davis the truth, or him being a superintendent, not getting a receipt himself to really tell the truth. I don't know. It's beyond me. But this is it here. A couple of action items that I want to end you with is, number one, Hillsborough County, there's a couple of your resource officers that are walking around with Blue Life Matters mask on. Okay. So this is what I'm going to tell you, that if I personally catch one, I'm exposing them. I suggest that y'all have a uniform check and y'all make sure that there's no resource officer. Oh, by the way, y'all hired several of them too. For the new hires, I want y'all to understand that we cannot hire any nurses or any custodial workers or anything like that, but we sure can hire some officers. Now, I understand that there are some statutory requirements, but I just want you to understand. I want you to zoom in and I want you to see all of these officer positions that was filled. Okay. Out of all of these jobs, there is not the nurses that we need. It's not the custodians that we need or the bus drivers, but we got a whole bunch of officers. I just want to sit that there. Now, some of these SROs, they have a Blue Lives Matter mask. Now, if the educators cannot put Black Lives Matter, which is not a political statement, it's a human right. Okay. Now, if the SROs want to keep walking around with the little blue line on their mask, we're going to have a problem, Hillsborough County, because what y'all need to do is keep that same energy. Y'all out here giving that educator in Plant City hell because they had Black Lives Matter on a t-shirt, which is not a political statement. But yet you have SROs walking around with blue lines on their mask. Blue lives do not even exist. It is a job. So keep the same energy, Hillsborough. Now, Pinellas, your action item is to come up with some type of compromise with this simultaneous teaching, which means, Grego, hello. You need to be intentional and let these people know what's happening in your organization, because you got people out here with face shields with no masks. You could wear a face shield, but the mask is the real issue here. So at the end of the day, y'all need to get to talking. Y'all need to be transparent and let these folks know. And you also need to let the folks know that in certain of your schools, you don't have a nurse. So if a child gets sick, who's administering the medicine to the children if you don't have a nurse on campus? I'm going to just sit that there. Manatee County, y'all have COVID going left and right in your facilities. And I just want to know, why is it so alarming there? Is it because y'all have been so corrupt that y'all don't have the resources and y'all been trying to lie and cover up because y'all are corrupt? Y'all are corrupt. Some of them board members are corrupt. I'm still upset that Gina Messenger got reelected. I'm just over it. Bridget should have won. I'm still heartbroken by that, but there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of tea going on. So y'all need to start asking questions. I just want to thank you again for tuning in to episode 3 of Morning Tea and Allegations. And thank you guys for loving me and supporting me. And like I always end with this, remember, folks, people lie, receipts don't. And if you don't have any receipts about me, please keep my name out your mouth. I love y'all. I will see y'all for another episode of Morning Tea and Allegation on Friday live at 9 a.m. So with that being said, I love y'all and y'all have a great day.
Please keep my name about your mouth and mind your business.